This episode is brought to you by Pitney Bowes. No matter what your small office needs or sends, Pitney Bowes SendPro C200 has you covered. The C200 lets you send mail and packages right from your desk. Plus, save 3 cents a letter and up to 39% off retail shipping rates. Start saving today and get a free 60-day trial of a Pitney Bowes C200. Learn more at pb.com/TMS and start your free trial today. That's pb.com/TMS. Terms apply. See the site for details. Coming up on TMS, the Tunnel of Love.
Ew, finally, the leader of the space nation, is here.
Dinosaurs can't say ah.
Rough night at the ballpark.
We asked for more fish, and they killed all the fish.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Don, I want you to meet the producer of the picture, Mr. R.F. Simpson.
Hello. How do you do, son? I just saw some of the rushes for the picture and asked Dexter here who the team of stuntmen were. He told me they were all you. I think you've got something, Don. I'm going to put you and Lena together in a picture. Come over to my office after lunch. We'll discuss a contract.
Well, that's stupendous.
Thanks.
It's the world of tomorrow, today. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is TMS, the morning stream for Wednesday, June 27, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson. Brian Abbott here also.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Happy hump day.
I'm in a mood. I went to eat some gummies this morning, and you're like, Scott, that's a terrible breakfast.
Well, it's all part of a nutritious, balanced breakfast. Was that like on the plate next to the toast?
No,
with the butter,
these were gummy vitamin B gummy things.
Okay, well, then that is good. Okay.
And here's the problem, though. You're supposed to chew those better.
Because I can't swallow a pill like a normal adult.
Hey, I just chew what my wife brings home. That's all there is.
I think that there should be no other show title than I just chew what my wife brings home.
All right, yeah, we don't usually get show titles this early in the show. It's crazy.
No, it's like 2 minutes in. Wow.
So
anyway, okay, so you're
supposed to eat two of these.
Your Flintstones multivitamin that's shaped like Dino. I got you.
Yes, okay, they're supposed to be. They're vitamin B. They're supposed to be two of them, and you're supposed to eat two of them, right?
Sure.
So
sure.
I pop one in my mouth. I'm like, oh, yeah, right. I'm supposed to have two of these. So I chew that one up, and then I go grab the other one. I throw it in the back of my throat, and I basically am too good of a shot. And the thing goes down my throat, and I spend – no one's home, by the way. Nick's off to some job interview. Kim's with Carter at the dentist. Like, there's nobody here but me, the dog, and the cat, and I've got a vitamin B freaking gummy jammed in the back of my throat. And I'm going, oh, like I'm dying.
Do you know what to do? Like, did you find a chair and do the self-Heimlich with the back of a chair?
So I vaguely remembered that there was a thing you could do with a chair, but I didn't know what it was.
So I just sat down.
Sat down and wondered why nothing's happening.
This isn't working. Maybe I need to cross my legs.
Here's the best part. I did finally kind of cough it up, and it horked across the room, landed on the floor, and the dog promptly ate it.
Oh.
So my dog has eaten a partially, not digested because it didn't get past my back of my throat, but a goobery vitamin B gummy worm bear thing. So it was a great morning. It went real well, and thrilled to be here. Glad to be alive, really.
Good. I'm glad you're alive, too.
Maybe, can you imagine?
Maybe now you'll, switch to pills, or maybe you won't just put anything in your mouth that your wife brings home.
Another good show title, by the way. It's really just a rewording, but works pretty well as well. But anyway, yeah, that sucked, and I'm displeased with my choices in life. So that's how that went. All right. Also, so this was all pre-dog walk. After I almost died, I went out and walked the dog. And, I've told you about these tunnels between me and the lake. You can go around this one direction. These lovely tunnels with, like, water running next to it because it's kind of the off-run from the lake. And so it's all trickly sounds and... there's three tunnels in quick succession. So you're out on a bike and walk path, and you go under one tunnel, next tunnel, next tunnel. And there have been times where some idiot kids will go in there, usually white suburban, kids who think they're all edgy, will go in there and spray paint something on this inside of this thing. And then the HOA or whoever comes and they cover it up, and it was like it was never there.
The Vespa gang.
Basically, yeah. Even worse, it'd be like the Spelling Bee crew or the there's no hard edge hardcore kids around here. They're all just acting like they are. So anyway, today I go in there, and it's always kind of fun to say, oh, what thing will I read? Sometimes it's just chalk, and it's a nice design that you could easily wash off with water. No big deal. That's cool. Some kid will do a nice little picture of a thing, or some other kid will have a really important message about live life to the fullest. It'll be gone before you know, like all this right. kind of crap.
Right.
And not today, no. Today, and it got progressively worse. Tunnel number one, walk in, giant orange painted, spray painted, so we're going to have to cover it up. Big orange spray painted penis.
Good.
Male phallus, as they say. And I see that and I go, oh, that's freaking great. And the lady jogs past me while I'm looking at it. That's great, too. So I'm standing there going,
like a little bit of guilt, like, like I didn't paint it, but I have one of those, so I'm partially responsible.
I'm part of the 49% of the population with one of these. I'm so sorry. So I see this big orange wiener, and then right next to it, it's got a really horrible message directed at our 45th president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Oh. And it says, Trump should die in a fire, some, I don't know, something like that.
Should have a testicle nailed down and then another one with a ball peen hammer. Oh, no, never mind.
Right.
Never mind.
And then right next to it is this big orange wiener. So I thought, oh, that's why it's orange. They're making a reference that it's orange because he's kind of orange because he right. tans all the time or whatever.
It's not just because orange paint was on sale at the Ace Hardware.
Although, probably a little of both, column A and column B. So I didn't think too much of it, and I thought, well, as I go on here, I'll see what else was on this kid's mind as he continued his tirade in these tunnels and see what else he
his
drew.
His manifesto.
I get down to the end of that
his
same Krylon tunnel.
Manifesto.
Yes. I get down to the end of that tunnel. There are now two more wieners, both orange, and they're in this kind of like sword fighting mode, like this.
Okay.
I go to the second tunnel thinking, I'm done with that kid. Whatever that kid was about, we're done. I get to the second tunnel, a series of five or six more orange wieners.
Wow, he's upping his game. Is he sacrificing quality for quantity, though? Like,
it feels like it.
Are they starting to get a little sloppy?
Yeah, they're sloppy wieners. None of these look like quality renderings of the male phallus. These start to look a little lousy, a little crappy, not really paying attention to detail, that sort of thing. So more of those, and then I thought, well, there's no way tunnel number three will feature any of this guy's continued work. In fact, I'm sure he's out of paint at this point. That's how it started to feel. I get to tunnel three, sure enough, and there are no more words or philosophies or anything.
Gotcha.
Just a string of wieners. That's it.
Sure.
Wiener, 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 all the way through tunnel number three.
The message is really in one. This is just a callback at this point. He's just doing a callback.
I mean, I like to be told a little story while I'm in there. I like to feel like I'm making a progression between tunnels and that I might get an end to this. But no, it's just a fixation on a big orange penis. That's it.
Does it tell a different story if you go the other direction? Like if you go tunnel three, if tunnel three becomes tunnel one? No, it really doesn't. It's like
a bunch of
penises, then a couple penises crossing, and then a single penis, and here's the message.
And then the Trump message, yeah. So I guess maybe that has an ending to a story, but there's no real good beginning to it. So one way, either way, you're screwed. You either have a beginning, and it peters out, literally. Or, I didn't mean that to happen. Or you go the other way and you have zero context and beginning. It's just a bunch of wieners and then a message at the end that gives you sort of a closure.
Yeah, neither one feels terribly
satisfying.
Like a very satisfying resolution.
No, none of those wieners were satisfying.
Dong.
Yeah, dongs every dong to dong dong. So anyway, well done, kid. I don't know what fifth grade math class you skipped to do that, but but good job and well done.
Summer, you got a whole summer of orange penises in the tunnel.
It's true.
Look forward to.
Well, and that'll be the big test here, because I'm guessing today. This usually they're very quick about this. I'll bet today they're down there fixing this. Somebody will be down there painting it, going freaking kids, as they paint over it. I already think there's probably this much wall that is actually paint down there. Because
the rest of it is...
They have to do it all the time. They do it all the time, especially in the summer. And this had to have happened last night because I was in those same tunnels the day before and there was nothing there. So so whoever did it, whatever kid did it, you know, maybe, I'm just saying, city of South Jordan and Daybreak area, maybe, they're really inexpensive. You go get yourself a little camera and you put it up in there so that when people do this, you have some evidence as to who might have done it.
Yes, here's what you'll get. Video of somebody in a black hoodie with something over their face spray painting your camera.
Yeah.
That'll be video number one in tunnel number one.
But maybe they could hide it, and then they could do some stings, right? So you hide the camera real good.
Sure.
And then you wane around the bushes on the other side of this thing, and you wait for, you know, little Jasper to have too much time on his hands, and then you jump out and go, brah! And you don't even arrest him. You just scare the hell out of him and make it so he never does it again. That would be fun.
What was the sci-fi movie where they were showing like a future where when somebody spray paints a wall, all of a sudden the wall turns around and spray paints them back or something? Do you remember this?
No. What? No.
Does this sound familiar?
No, not at all.
Like it's something like RoboCop, and somebody comes up to a wall and spray paints, and they're showing like the, here's the new Graffiti Tech 5000 or something, and someone comes up and sprays the wall. Demolition Man.
Everybody
all hit at the same time. Ray,
that is Ray totally John Demolition Man. I do remember that now. Yeah, vaguely. Demolition Man was
then,
so
like,
much
all
about...
All these spray cans come out of the wall.
Right. Well, maybe that's the answer here.
That's the answer, yes. Maybe just stick five seashells on, or three seashells on the wall of the tunnel and see if I get it.
Have some Taco Bell.
Look at that. Somebody's already... John F. 1968. I'm sorry, John F.L. 1968 has already even posted the video of that scene.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Let's listen to this. Hopefully we don't get banned for showing this, maybe. A little taste of it here. Okay, up comes these. Oh. Oh, I don't remember this.
Well, that's the reverse. That's the...
Yeah, that's not it. Whoops. Why is Hangouts running? That's
oh, weird. There we go.
Does it show...
Okay, it shows the wall erasing itself, erasing the graffiti on itself.
Oh, so it did it itself, and then the wall kills it.
The wall, right, exactly.
Oh,
there's
then,
a spray paint malfunction.
That movie's not great. You know, it's okay.
No, but it's lovable. I'll say this.
I agree. It's Sylvester Stallone naked in a block of ice. That's a thing that it has, which is kind of cool. What else did it have? Oh, I like what's-her-name in it. She's great.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock. She's great.
Yeah. And I like Wesley Snipes before he went nuts. He was cool.
Before he went bankrupt and...
Yeah. For a bad movie, it's not bad. You know what? Polymer says it exactly right. For a bad movie, it's not bad. There you go.
Right, exactly.
Nailed it. Didn't we watch this for FilmSack? Why do I...
We absolutely watched it for FilmSack. We talked about the Taco Bell Wars.
But the spray paint thing is so vague to me. I don't remember it.
Fast Food Wars.
Yeah, Fast Food Wars. Taco Bell wins. Which still may happen. Anyway, that's how that all went. Good times, right?
It went for me today, I'll say that.
Yeah. And you're feeling good? Everything's all cleared up?
I am totally feeling 100%. If it weren't 100 degrees today, like it's supposed to be 100 degrees today, it's already 85 and it's only 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
I would probably get on the bike today, but
not
homie
today.
Don't ride in 100 degree heat.
No, homie don't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program, one Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. I didn't realize it was 1992. Homie, don't play that.
No. Yeah,
whatever.
Homie, don't play that.
I bring it back. I bring it back, Brian. Homie, don't play that.
You just keep trying to bring that back.
Yeah. He's going to make it. I feel pretty good about Brian's attempt to bring Homie, don't bring
By the way,
that, to do that.
Allura for Real in the chat room said, you know how Sandra Bullock got the part, right? And I said, yeah, she filled out a Google form. That's a callback to yesterday.
Yeah, that's
show.
Pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, as you guys know, this is Babel Royale, and because it's Wednesday, we're having a proper one. We had to skip Mondays due to time, which sucked, and then Dunaway had a meeting yesterday, so we couldn't do it then.
Let's call it what it was, a meeting with my doctor.
Oh, how'd that go for you? What was the deal there? Everything good?
Oh, yeah, it went fine. Yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah, he's like, listen, it said it's totally normal to have a detachable penis, so don't stress about it. Is that what he told you, or how'd that go?
No, he was a little upset. He was a little upset about that part. But he said, "You lost it again?"
Yeah.
And the rest of it was fine. He gave me some medicine. I went to go pick it up and they said, "That will be $100, sir." And I was like,
Wow, that's a lot of scratching money is what that is.
Right, yeah. It is. Hey, I'm not going to complain about medicine money because I know some people spend some big medicine money. But yeah. for me, that was a lot. And I was like, let's try this again.
I get it.
You don't like paying for medical stuff? Go to Canada.
Yeah, all right. Go to Europe. Right. Actually,
you don't like it here.
It's funny you say that, Brian. Today's the 70-year anniversary of Britain's free healthcare system. So there's that.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know why I even know that. Let's find out if our caller knows any of these things either. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Oh, caller.
Hello, caller. You done did call, but I can't hear you. Well, shit.
Turn up your caller.
I don't know what happened to him. Maybe their cheek hit the mute button. I don't know why I'm talking like that.
Cheek hit the mute button.
What'd you say?
I don't know what I'm saying. All right, well, they're not there, so now we'll take another call. I don't know what happened to him. If you don't get in right away, don't worry. We'll still answer your call. And we got someone coming in now, looks like. Yes, here we go. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Steve from Kentucky.
Well, hello, Steve from Kentucky.
Steve from Kentucky.
Oh, man. You know what I like more than almost anything in this world is a Kentucky accent. I don't know why. Of all the Southern accents.
That's the second time you told me that.
I know. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. There's something in the Kentucky accent. I just love it.
Scott takes comfort in that accent.
I do take comfort in that.
I once had a guy tell me, why when you speak does it sound stupid, but when your wife speaks, it sounds really sexy.
That is so true. It's true in Mississippi, too, so don't feel bad. Well, that's fantastic. It's good to have you back and to have a Kentuckian on the show. That's what you call yourselves, right? Kentuckians?
Sure. Hillbillies, whatever.
All right. He'll take hillbillies.
What part of Kentucky are you from, by the way?
Eastern Kentucky.
Ah, very nice.
Oh, I thought I was going to say the fried part.
Eastern Kentucky you can get without being West Virginia.
Ah, cool.
Gotcha. So like east of Louisville. Yeah. My dad used to live in Lexington.
Very nice. Hey, that's
Lexington, Louisville, and Frankfort.
That's where Lexington's where Raylan Givens would go to do all his police working.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Well, I feel like we talked about that last time too. I'm having deja vu big time. Yeah. Anyway, let's play this game. Brian, you want to explain the rules and what he could win?
Happily. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Steve, your job is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for these fabulous Steam games, courtesy of Matthew Bach, provided these. Mirage Arcane Warfare, All-Star Fruit Racing. With the Yogscast car DLC and
that's cool.
Battle Riders. All three of those will be yours if you get today's deal right. So, predict correctly.
Yeah.
So get your finger off that Steam summer sale. Yeah. You got some free games coming.
That's right. In theory.
Now,
yeah.
Before you can win that prize, though, I got to give everybody the topic. And they can start thinking about it while we talk about who you think is going to win. Today's topic comes to us courtesy of Laundry Scent. The most significant celebrities, or the most popular, the most Googled, I should say, celebrities who died in 2016. Because we talk about, 2016, what a bummer of a year, man. Everybody died. It sucked.
Yeah. And this includes anybody, music, actors, whatever, right?
Every celebrities of any sort.
Okay.
Even sports people or non-sports people.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So famous. Start thinking about
2016.
Yeah. We've moved away far enough from it that we're going to really test your memory on.
And remember that way. Mm-hmm. Brian's right. That was the year where everyone said, it's the worst year because everyone dies this year.
Oh, that actually helps.
I remember some of them, but this is going to be interesting. Okay.
This should be interesting. All right. So, Steve from Kentucky, who do you think is going to win this?
Well, this is very random.
It is. Yeah. There's no.
I'm going to go.
I don't
with
think there's
Scott.
Any clear advantage here.
Ooh, Scott, he says. Ooh.
He's saying Scott. All
yeah.
Right.
All right. I won't let you down. You also have to
Toronto.
Choose.
Toronto.
Who starts?
Oh. And I'll also let you choose who gets to begin, who gets to give the first answer.
Yeah.
Let's go with Brian.
Okay.
All right. Brian gets to start. Brian.
Yes.
Somebody. Name somebody Who died in 2016?
I'm really thinking this has been about 2 years now, and it kind of upset me. It was Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke. Wow.
I remember him passing away. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before that, because ever since he passed away, I was like, he died from like a heart attack playing like backyard sports with his kids. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be like that age and thinking that I'm able to do more than I can. And then freaking die of a heart attack right there from a kid. It just, ooh, it was,
well,
so
I think
upsetting.
It was his grandkids. Cause ooh, it's,
it was,
I'm
his
trying
son,
to,
man.
Oh, was, yeah, it? Was it his son? It wasn't Robin Thicke, was it?
Well, just the fact that Robin Thicke and that whole lawsuit thing and that whole misogyny deal. And,
oh, that's what put him down, you're saying. All right.
Put him down. Right. Correct. Alan Thicke died December 13th, 2016. Very good.
All right. Wow. I am going to go with one that really got me that year, and that was Alan Rickman.
Harry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going for all the Alans first, of course. Alan Rickman, yep.
His name could have been Alan Thickman.
Alan
anyway,
there's two more recent celebrity deaths, and I can't remember how recent they were, but I know there was two more that it was, I want to say Bill Paxton, did he pass away in 2016?
It's a lot earlier. I'm looking and confirming, but I'm pretty sure it was a lot earlier than that, wasn't it?
I think it was later than
that. Oh, no, it was later than that. It was February 25th, 2017.
Yeah!
Scott wins with just giving one answer.
That makes up for that for the other day, or I guess for yesterday.
It totally does. Holy.
Can I tell you a couple others that I knew that are just off the top of my head?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. There's Nancy Reagan died that year.
Was that? I thought that was last. That was...
That's 2016. I'm sure of it. I remember it.
Yeah. Was it?
Is it?
Not on my list, but I'm pretty sure you're right. It's funny how
she may not qualify. Well, I mean, I assume she qualifies as a super famous.
Yeah,
person.
She died in March 2016. So, yep.
Okay.
Oh, and then you got, nice.
The guy that
everyone... Scott's way more obsessed with the obituary than I am. Apparently.
Oh, I totally am obsessed with death. It's also a bad year for the guy who everyone thought would live forever and always thought was dead but never was. That was the year that Abe Vigoda actually died.
Exactly.
Oh.
That's exactly right. Yep.
David Bowie, we didn't say.
David Bowie's a good one. I was expecting David Bowie to be one of the first ones.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I thought that was last year because I got his album, but didn't he do this album posthumous?
Yes, they released his most recent album posthumously, correct.
But was that in 2017? Because I was a little bit waffly on that one, too. When did the album come out? When did he pass away?
I don't know. It was the 2016.
When did Bowie pass away? It was like February 2016.
That was early that year.
Yeah. Man, I'm remembering that all wrong. Man. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
Then you got your Gene Wilder that year. You had
Gene Wilder. Yep.
If I'm not incorrect, I believe that was also Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds.
It was
deaths.
Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, correct? Yeah,
right. I should have said Carrie Fisher. That was a duh.
Carrie Fisher feels like 2017, so I wasn't 100% sure on that. But and then you had that's all I remember. Oh, Muhammad Ali died that year too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah. You could have also named Prince, Florence Henderson, Fidel Castro,
what?
Glenn Frey.
Fidel Castro's dead.
Yeah, Fidel Castro's dead.
I forgot he was dead. Why do I not
John
remember
Glenn,
that?
John Glenn, Zsa Zsa Gabor. Oh, there's Nancy Reagan. I guess she's on this list.
Oh,
right,
dude from dude from Firefly that played the preacher.
Ron Glass. Yeah.
Is that his name? Ron Glass. Ron
That's
Glass died.
Yep. Also from Barney Miller.
Yeah.
George Michael, William Christopher, Father Mulcahy.
Also from Barney Miller. Like there's some kind of Barney Miller curse that didn't.
There's a Barney Miller curse.
2016.
Yeah.
Barry Shandling, Anton Yelchin,
oh,
Marshall,
right. I
James
about
Noble,
Chekhov,
the governor, and Ben Benson, Doris Roberts.
Yeah. No, you know what we should have done? How celebrities died, because I seem to remember much more of that stuff than the actual date. But that's always that was always my problem in history class too. I could tell you what surrounded the events, but the actual date, forget it.
Yeah. When did John Hillerman die? Didn't he die in 20? You know who I'm talking about? Dude from Magnum PI was
Higgins.
I think it was last year, wasn't it?
Was it last year?
his butler dude, right?
Yeah, his butler. Yeah, his butler dude.
His whole career was just bullet down to that butler dude.
Butler dude. November 2017.
Oh, man, I feel real good about this. All right, so here's the dealio. Because you picked right there, Steve, in Kentucky, you win. And that means you just need to send Ibbot an email at coverville@gmail.com. He'll send you your winnings, and you will walk off a cool Kentuckian with a rad accent. You feel all right about that?
Yeah, cool. Thanks, y'all.
You're the Excellent. Best. We'll
and,
talk
and
to you
And it really didn't matter who we picked to go first, because you had so many in your pocket, Scott. But,
he did. He was going to... He was going to decimate me.
What's funny is if you, I don't know what kind of list you're working from, Ibbot, but if there's a list, there's probably a list out there that shows, what years for every year that people died. Yeah, and I'll bet my theory holds up that 2016 looks a lot like every other year. Like we thought it was more because there were some big iconic ones.
I mean, the fact that Prince and George Michael and David Bowie, maybe, you might be right, but boy, it sure seemed like a lot of.
I swear, it just
favorite celebrities from our generation. Let's see. Like I remember watching the Brady Bunch and Florence Henderson passing away, and MASH, William Christopher, and music, George Michael and Prince and David Bowie, at least two very influential musicians, and a third that I think was hugely popular.
So let's look at. I just found a list. This is on. Let's see what's this? 50s web. 2015 as an example.
Sure. Okay.
There's way more, first of all, but they may not be as significant. So let's find out.
Yeah.
Donna Douglas. She was,
Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae. Brian knew right away. Kind of a crush.
Oh, yeah. Come on now.
She hit her head in the cement pond. I said, I know how they all died. I just don't know when.
Rod Tyler, don't know him. Taylor Negron.
Negron. He delivered the pizza on Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
All right. Yeah. Okay. No. I know that face now.
Finally died from obesity.
Yeah. Leonard Nimoy that year.
Mr. Hand finally killed him.
Leonard Nimoy was that year. James Best, Louis Godfrey. These are people you guys have seen. B.B. Mm-hmm. King was that year. Christopher Lee. Dick Van Patten. Let's see. Omar Sharif. Frank Gifford, Dean Jones.
I wonder if the way you would have to do this to be able to measure the significance is impact. Is to have a panel of 100 people varying ages with a red button and a green button in front of them. Mm-hmm. And you go down the list of who died in that year. And if you've heard of that person, press the green button. Or if you could name something that person was significant for or something like that, press the green button. If you can't, then press the red button, and I wonder how many, what years you would see the most response from that.
Yeah, probably. It's interesting. Harold Ramis was 2014. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah. That was a bad year.
2014 was
We lost people that seemed youngish shouldn't have died.
Maybe a better way would just to be put some people in a room and then play some really sad music and then throw the pictures of the different people up as you go along and. Whoever cries the most, whichever one has the most people crying, there you go.
Well, look,
what you do is you look at the Oscars in memoriam section, you just measure the applause. Although, is it
the cryometer? The cryometer is off the scale.
I think if you count this, all right, celebrity deaths in 2014 is A, more faces, but B, I think more significant to what you're saying, Brian, than 2016 was. For example. I'll just use the names that we're all going to know right away. Forget about Russell Johnson from Gilligan's Island for a minute. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Richard Bull, Shirley Temple.
Wait, Richard Bull.
I don't know who that is. Shirley Temple.
Is it not Mull? Was it?
Wait, no, it's not.
Are you
that's
about
why
Bull? Richard Mull Bull.
I thought that's who it was, but it's not him. Shirley Temple, Sid Caesar, Harold Ramis, David Brenner, Mickey Rooney, Bob Hoskins, Maya Angelou. Let's see. Casey Kasem was that year. Mm-hmm. James Garner, Robin Williams, Richard Attenborough, Joan Rivers. And those are just the names I'm going to say.
I'd still put 2016 up against that list. And
but
say
see,
that,
I think you're doing that because you're a music guy, and I don't blame it. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. It's the right thing. That had to have been a more significant year for you for deaths.
I mean, music, freaking Willy Wonka.
He wasn't actually Willy Wonka. I'm just
what
you know that, right? I just
Yes, he was. They just
putting that out there.
Yeah, they just said, "Well, we need somebody who can play him, who can play Gene Wilder in the next movie." Well, I guess Johnny Depp, you'll have to do.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Who can play Gene Wilder? The picture on the box of Gobstoppers looks like freaking Gene Wilder. Tell me he doesn't.
Well, anyway, and we're only getting started on 2018. You got Jerry Van Dyke, Donnelly Rhodes, Doran Tracy, and Dorothy Malone. No people, mostly, yeah. Mostly we're doing all right. See if there's anybody else that's big. Yeah, we don't. Oh, Mort Walker died. Beetle Bailey artist.
Yeah.
Sure.
That sucks. Well, anyway, this has been a very morbid trip down memory lane.
Let's pour one out. Let's pour out a mixture of iced tea and lemonade for Arnold Palmer, who also died in 2016.
Indeed. Dunaway, have a fantastic day. Over there at the Brian Dunaway on Twitter, and kiss our collective butts. Bye now. All right, I've kicked him out, which gives us room and time to talk about our good friends over at Pitney Bowes. The C200 is what I'd like to talk to you about today. The episode is brought to you by Pitney Bowes. With Pitney Bowes mailing and shipping solutions, confidence is built in. No matter what your small office needs or sends, Pitney Bowes Send Pro C200 has you covered. That's the C200. Calculate exact postage. Never over or underpay. Select options allow you to compare and choose current rates from three major shipping carriers. It's convenient. You can weigh a package, print shipping labels, send mail right from your desk. I don't have to go to the post office anymore. Do you? Well, maybe you should be doing what I'm doing. I save money every time. I save 3 cents a letter and up to 39% off retail shipping rates. That adds up. Excuse me. If your business mails or sends anything, save more with SendPro C200. Start saving today. For our listeners, Pitney Bowes is offering a 60-day free trial with all of its C200 models. Visit pb.com/TMS to learn more and start your free trial today. That's pb.com/TMS. Terms and conditions apply. See the site for details. Hey, and that means it's time for the news. But in order to do it, I gotta push this here button. Here you go.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Today's news brought to you by...
Get your crit together. A heroic content World of Warcraft raid team in the AIE Guild on Earthen Ring is looking for a few good raiders. You can't handle the truth to add to their talent. Heading into BFA, they're looking to fill a few more roster spots with some more DPS and especially a Havoc Demon Hunter. They raid Hordeside Tuesday and Sunday nights from 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. in the only time zone that matters, Mountain. Raiders who are interested in a serious team who has fun along the way to their ahead-of-the-curve achievements should get in touch with Civ on Twitter at CivPlaysGames or Joss Plays.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
They have quite the little raid team.
Yep.
They get the job
really,
done.
Really, really good at what they do.
They basically bailed on us to go do their own little private
well,
thing.
We just weren't progressing fast enough for them, and it's totally fine. I love my my FERT team compadres and compadrettes.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to play again with them because it's been 2 months since I've raided with FERT.
Everyone is in raid hibernation right now until the new content comes out.
Kind
I
of
think.
Them, yeah. But
anyway.
Tonight I'm not, but I'm back in on Sunday. I'm back in on Sunday, FERT Raid. I hope you're hearing me.
That's
hope
right.
somebody there we go. Smexy's there.
The Dirty Casuals will play yet again so that Civ and his freaking pro team can play their game. But anyway, if that sounds fun to you, check these guys out. Civ Plays Games and Joss Plays on Twitter. Brian, let's talk about a Russian billionaire. Do you want to talk about him?
The Russian billionaire. Yes, I yeah. let me warm up Russian accent of moose and squirrel.
His money is too much hassle. A Russian billionaire has declared himself leader of the new space nation, he's calling it, Asgardia, at lavish castle ceremony.
This is how Dr. Doom got started, isn't it? That's, I know he's not Russian.
Sounds about right.
But I mean, might as well be Latveria, you know? Like,
yeah. It's supposed to be. I mean, his Latveria thing was supposed to be like an Eastern Bloc kind of.
It was, yeah, yeah. Totally was. It was like
fake but real. Know. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
The Russian billionaire has held a lavish ceremony at a castle in Austria to declare himself the leader of a new independent space nation, not station, by the way, nation.
Right. I know. I accidentally said space station because I'm That's a word that rolls off the tongue. You don't hear about space nation. What are the borders on your space nation?
No.
Yeah, space.
Maybe this is why Trump announced the Space Force is to fight off the space nation.
This is the first enemy of the Space Force.
Might be. He's calling it Asgardia.
Space Force.
We're going Well, no, they're Russian. He'll like them. He'll
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, he's not going to fight them. I just realized this is going to be just fine. The self-funded event was held at the opulent Hofburg Palace in Vienna. That's home of the sausages. Those little gross things. Right. Can.
Yes, the Hofburg Palace in Vienna. Mm. Little tiny sausages, then little tiny buns to put the sausages in.
Man, so
little tiny hot dogs.
Boogery, goopy, watery goop they're in. What is that stuff?
Well, we know it's the equivalent of hot dog water, Scott, but it's smaller and more condensed.
It's like... and congealed.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I would pay you $50 to just down one of those. And I don't mean with the hot dogs.
I would do that in a heartbeat. So, like, take the little Vienna sausages out and then
just
and then drink the...
Yeah.
No problem.
Really? You would shotgun that whole... that liquid just down your throat?
Yeah, it's like it's not thick. It's like a more watery, thin liquid.
It is, but it's got, like, gelatinous goop in there. It's real weird. I don't think you could do it. It's like floating boogers and stuff. It's bad.
I'd still do it. $50, no problem. Let's do this. Let's throw down.
All right. You guys heard it here. Chat room, you heard it here first. Anyway, so he's so it says this. It included a choral performance by the nation's anthem, an official oath, and a video message from Russian cosmonaut Oleg Artemyev on the International Space Station, or ISS. To what is Asgardia, who is the man behind it, and why there are thousands of people signing up to be a part of it? Here's what you need to know. It is a brainchild of Russian rocket scientist Igor Asherbergalary.
I like that you call him Igor, like he's from Young Frankenstein. Frankenstein.
You think it's
Igor?
Igor.
No, don't mess up the easiest name in the Russian language. Igor.
When I was growing up, you always said Igor, but I don't know if it was because of that movie or if it was just because...
It had to be because of that movie, yeah.
It might have been. Anyway, he wants
Igor,
to be the...
Igor, bring me a brain.
He wants to be the very first fully independent nation in space with its own government, virtual currency, justice system, and calendar.
With its own calendar?
Well, yeah, you'd have to because you don't have rotation of the Earth to do anything by... Like, you'd have to have your own calendar, right?
Well, I don't think you would.
Well,
no.
What would you? How would you do the time telling then? Would you just be like...
You would have a 24-hour clock that would just... I mean, what's the point of having, like, a whole separate, you know, it's... All right, well, Thursday back on Earth. Here, it's Glorps Day. Hello, happy Glorps Day to you.
I don't think that's what they mean, but what they mean is, like, the time...
Vacuum enough for you today on this lovely Glorps Day?
The only reason, it's like Stardate in Star Trek. The reason you have a different time-telling mechanism is because you're not all... When you're on the same planet, you can have the same calendar. Because
right,
all
I mean,
the rules
if you're going to be... I imagine he's just not, like, going to be going off into space, like the Enterprise or something. They're probably going to hover around. Like, it's going to be its own nation that spins around Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And on the International Space Station, they still mark time with our calendar, and they still call it July and June and whatever.
Yeah.
I think as long as you're tethered to the Earth, whether it's physically or gravitationally, you adhere to our time and date system.
Well,
even if you're not on the planet proper.
I mean,
this will ever happen anyway.
Right. I mean, that's the
I'm
thing.
Building Rainbow Bridge to Asgardia.
He's a funny looking little dude. Here's the chat. Look at that guy. That's your billionaire. And he wants Asgardia to become an official member of the United Nations. I don't know how that works, but anyway, he says he's going to pay for the whole thing and make it happen. And they think it's going to be a reality in 25 years or less.
Huh.
So I don't know if Puffy McSconeface will be alive still, but
right.
You know,
I love the idea, and I love that the new future space technology that they that the artist's impressions have created allows us to have address signs on our on our front porches that are done with lasers.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Yeah, I did. That's pretty awesome. Whatever. Yes. I want lasers to do everything in my life. So
sure, but you know, heck with anything else. It's like, how we use new technology. I know. We'll make hovering holographic street and number signs for our houses.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath, everybody. I don't know if we're gonna get there. Weirder things have happened, maybe. I don't know. 25 years is a long time. Maybe they'll figure it out. If you could go back 25 years and tell people what we'd be doing now with certain things, they probably wouldn't believe you. So maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe he's got these great pictures.
I'll, you know, if it weren't for the calendar, I'd be all in for this thing. But I can't get behind it because of the calendar.
We can't
situation.
Just cannot.
Other, other than that, I'm totally up for living on a space nation.
You can't. You don't want to celebrate Glorp Day? Or whatever you call it, Glorp's Day?
I don't want to celebrate Glorp Day. I'm perfectly happy. What day is Hump Day? Is it Glorp's Day? Is it Flank?
I mean, they might still call it like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. They might just have them be different lengths or something. Like, you don't have a 24-hour clock anymore. Well, because you're...
That seems silly.
It seems silly from the perspective of humans... have evolved themselves to the point that the 24-hour clock is built into us. Like, that's how we... That's
right,
how we
but
behave.
Okay, so let's say, I mean, you know, it's going to be its own nation, but I imagine he's still going to be communicating with people on Earth, and they're saying, okay, well, we're going to send up another thing of supplies up. You know, we know you've got your greenhouse going up there. We know you're growing your own vegetables and stuff, but we're going to go ahead and send up another thing of fertilizer for you, a little, some Thompson's seed, some Scott's fertilizer, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're going to be sending that up on Wednesday. Oh, let me get out my Earth to Asgardia calendar here. Okay, your Wednesday.
Right.
What time Wednesday? Okay, no, that will be +5. Carry the 1. -19. Subtract the square root of Flinkenberg.
Well,
and,
computers will do it automatically. Like, you can do that now with Google. Like, you just go in and say, what time is it in France? Like, it would be like that. It'd be like another time zone.
Yeah.
I get why they'd want to do it, though.
Why?
Because they don't have a 24-hour, they don't have a 360.
They can do whatever they want. Why wouldn't they just, if they're going to be around Earth and they're going to be communicating with Earth, why create a new problem? Why not say, yeah, we'll just use the same calendar. It'll be that much easier when we're trying to organize something. We'll be, you know, we'll be the equivalent of the Pacific time zone. Mm. And that way people will know, oh, I need to call Igor on the space station. He's up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll call him at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, here's what we've got. We've got a listenership full, I'm sure, of scientific minds. Someone out there knows why this would even be a thing. So tell us why, because I can't think of a good reason either. I'm basically devil's advocate for something I don't think is functional anyway. So I'd be very curious whether this works. Why would you want to do it? In other words, why, like even in the case of Star Trek, why didn't they just stick to human time?
Well, because they were leaving Earth. That totally makes sense, because if they were on a space station hovering around Earth,
yeah,
I think that they would have stuck to Earth's time and calendar, time zone, or times and calendars.
But why couldn't they have stuck with that anyway? Because they have the same problem, right? If they need to talk to San Francisco while they're in the Gamma Quadrant, they need to know... Actually, I don't know how they communicate back with Starfleet. I don't know how that works. Never mind. Never I just realized... Yeah, I realized that they skip a lot of things in that show that...
Yeah, but I mean, if you're leaving the orbit of Earth, totally makes sense that you would. I mean, I'd still probably keep the same calendar and time, so I knew people back on Earth, like how, you know, what year it was. Oh, it's Christmas. I'll send a subspace Christmas card to to the family back home, instead of having to like pull out a calculator for no reason whatsoever to like. Try and figure out what day it is back there, what day it is here. It seems silly.
Yeah, it does. Now, if you went to Jupiter and you had like 36-hour days and 600 days rotating around the sun, obviously you'd have to make some adjustments. But you could still probably call them Monday through Sunday.
Let's say Jupiter's rotation is 36 hours, right? 36 hours for the planet to rotate around.
Yeah.
As a human being, you still need the same amount of sleep after the same amount of being awake. So
yeah, you'd need to be there long. You need to be there a couple of million years to evolve to the new thing, right? Because it's the only reason we are, the only reason we adhere to the Earth one is because we are, we've been here forever and now we've got it. You know, now it's part of us.
I think that's part of it, but I don't think that we'd have more stamina if we were on a planet that had a longer rotation. I don't think we'd.
Oh, exactly. That's my
point.
Be able
to stay up for three times the amount that we do here on Earth.
No, that's totally my point. It would take you millions of years to adhere to it. You'd have to evolve. Yeah. You'd have to evolve like we had to here. But thankfully, nobody's going to Jupiter anytime soon that I know of. They have bad weather there. It's not good.
And Jupiter, it's crazy.
Yeah, every day is a like Sunday.
I keep wanting to pop that red spot. Just like get my thumbs right on it.
Just give it a big old. Every day. All right, look at this here. dinosaurs couldn't stick their tongues out, says researchers. Boy, look how science-y we're being today. This is fantastic. Dinosaur, despite what animations and illustrations might suggest to you otherwise, dinosaurs could not stick out their tongues. New research suggests dinosaurs' tongues were fixed to the bottom of their mouths, like the tongues in alligators. It's true, I've never seen an alligator stick their tongue out. Mm-hmm. New research suggests, more than question dinosaurs' ability to make funny or fearsome faces.
More than question dinosaurs' ability. So yes, it's basically saying we've gone beyond whether or not we think them sticking their tongues out would be funny or scary.
It's a bad sentence.
It really is. Yeah.
I don't like it. Shishang Gang Li, or how you say his name, says tongues are often overlooked. He's an associate professor at the Chinese Academy of Sciences. He said in a news release, but hey, they offer key insights into the lifestyles of extinct animals. When Li and his colleagues at the Chinese Academy of Sciences and the University of Texas compared the hyoid bones of dinosaurs with those of alligators, crocodiles, petrosaurs, am I saying that right? Pterosaurs and modern birds.
Sorry, I was looking. Pterosaurs.
The P is not in there.
Pterodactyl.
Oh, right. They have a P too. You're right. Yeah. They found dinosaurs' hybrid bones or hyoid bones. That's a hard word to say.
Hyoid.
Anyway, the point is they didn't have tongues that could stick out. That's the main point there.
So does that just totally throw Land Before Time into chaos? Like, do we have scenes where the dinosaurs are like licking their lips? Oh, that fern looks tasty.
Yes, the answer is yes. Absolutely true. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, recommendals. I'm told Nicole is here today. That'll be good.
She is. She is here. I've talked to her.
Yeah, she was on some sort of trip, but now they're home. And so there's that. So we'll get to that in a second. Also, Tom with Tom's Tech Time. So come on back for all that. In the meantime, could you now share a song for me?
I'm certainly going to try. My site that has that information is acting slow, so I'm going to do it a different way here and see if I can find information about them online. Because here we go. You can find these guys on Reverb Nation, as well as their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/awakechild, AWAKECHILD. Mm-hmm. This is a band from, where are you from?
Where do you hail from?
Phoenix, Arizona. It's an EDM band. Oh, here we go. Now that stuff is pulling up. This is really, really cool. And it's that kind of EDM that I like. Love female vocal, female fronted EDM music. And this is a brand new song and video that they've released. Go check them out again, facebook.com/awakechild. Here's the song, Won't Say Love.
Oh, I like that. All right, here it is. We'll be back in a sec. Stay tuned.
What? Sound goes through the cable to the box. A man records it on a big record in wax. But you have to talk into the mic first. In the bush.
Make him feel welcome. Look pleasant.
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
We're back. Yeah, that was my jam. I liked that a lot. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
I could listen to that. That's an album I could put on.
Good. Yeah, good. Just got background music, getting work done kind of music.
Yeah, I need that today. I got a lot to do, turns out.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I think we can safely get Nicole all up in it because that's what we do. And we talk about recommendals. Where today I have to cheat a little, which I don't like cheating,
cheater.
But I'm going to have to
you
cheat
cheater.
Anyway. It's going to have to be a bit of a cheat.
Oh, Nicole.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. One Nicole Spagnolo. Hello, Nicole. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. It says Discord says, looks like we can't identify any audio. Let's fix it. I'm like, really?
No, we hear you, but we don't see you because
we don't see you, but we hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's
it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's fine.
It doesn't matter what I look like.
How was your little? How was your
5 days of travel with two kids?
Oh, I was going to ask. What was the occasion? You guys just do a little vacation or something?
Just a family reunion with on my mom's side. And I've been kind of delaying it, and finally this year I'm like, okay, let's do this. And Mark kind of overscheduled himself, so I had to do the whole trip on my own.
Oh my god, with the kids.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I saw photos of you guys you know, traveling and stuff. I didn't realize it was solohood.
Yeah.
Did you do do planes and you didn't do, is it a road trip? Like what
plane? Oh, no way would I do a road trip. No,
because this was what, back to Missouri or where?
Yeah, back to Missouri. We were in Missouri, where I grew up, and a lot of my family still is. So, yeah, that was interesting. But we made it. We did it.
Good job.
You know, avoided Mateo getting sick on the plane because he gets motion sickness. So,
oh, poor little guy.
Oh, yeah. I made it. I'm about ready to collapse.
Well, good. Perfect time for us to talk about recommendals then, where we talk about stuff we found streaming that we think is cool. Hopefully you saw something good on the plane. Or maybe
I just watched something right before the show.
Oh, well, that's perfect. Even better. A little morning watch. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Well, let's get right to it. We usually start with Brian. Brian, any setup for your clip?
I will say it's a 2017 film, and that's all I will tell you.
All right. Here's your clip.
You know, my mama, she always told me, us Southerners get our good manners from the British. I was thinking.
I watched this on the plane.
Y'all ain't keep nothing for yourself. Y'all ain't never heard of knocking before you enter.
Well, actually, we had an invitation, didn't we?
Yeah, how did you know?
Yeah, it came in the shape of a bottle. We're from the Kayla's shop in London. Maybe you've heard of us.
That's where y'all got them fine suits and them fancy spectacles y'all got on.
Exactly. That's right.
Y'all look damn sharp. Let me see if I got it right here. You want me to believe that it's normal for a tailor to hack through an advanced biometric security system with nothing but a little bitty old watch on?
Oh, it's that Kingsman sequel.
The Golden Circle.
Just occurred to me at the end. I finally heard what's his name's voice. Yeah,
Tatum. Or Channing Tatum. Sure.
Yeah, Channing Tatum.
I don't know. What is it? Channing Tatum?
Yes.
It is Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. Yeah. Has a little Muppet on her hand or whatever.
So obviously based, continued the sequel to the first Kingsman film. Also directed by Matthew Vaughn, produced by him as well. And he wrote the. I think he wrote it's the same guy who wrote the original comics, right?
Is it? I don't know. I know the comics are. I don't know. Maybe. Did he direct?
Matthew Vaughn was involved with the. Why am I thinking that Matthew Vaughn is also a comics writer as well?
You may be thinking of the other Vaughn.
Brian K. Vaughn.
Brian K. Vaughn is who you're thinking of.
Vaughn Poopy Pants?
Yeah, Vaughn Poopy Pants.
Anyway, it's on HBO. It's streaming right now. Definitely worth watching. You got your people coming back from the first one, including Colin Firth, Taron Egerton, Mark Strong. This time they're adding Jeff Bridges, Channing Tatum, who you heard in that scene, Holly Berry, Julianne Moore, and one of the best I can't even really call it a cameo because it's so damn prominent. Elton John steals the friggin' show.
Really?
Like Elton John is amazing in this thing.
Really?
And I can't say why. Yes.
Is he play himself?
Yeah.
Okay.
He does play himself. He plays himself.
Does he play any of his terrible music since 1985 or so? Does he play
any of
that?
No, he plays all of the good music pre-1985.
Okay, great. That's good.
This will make you love Elton John and you won't say, wait, is that my mother in this film? I can't tell.
Make Elton John great again. Sweet. I'm in. I'm all in on seeing how this works out. I haven't seen the original, so I've been slow to see the sequel, obviously.
You should make it a double feature because you do want to see the first one before. Mm. There's stuff that happens in this one that's directly related to the first film. And not for the kids. There's
it's not for the kids.
It's violent. I mean, the little kids for sure. Definitely not. But I mean, there's violence, but there's also a lot of sexual innuendo and not even really subtle in some places. Like how he meets his love interest who we see in the second film is
Dave Gibbon, by the way, Mark Miller or Millar, how you say it, wrote the original
comic. Mark Miller,
and Dave Gibbons, known famously for being the illustrator artist on Watchmen, also did that for King.
Yeah, that's who I was confusing. Kick-Ass obviously is Matthew Vaughn, and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch.
Wait, Matthew Vaughn? X-Men. Who's Matthew Vaughn?
Matthew Vaughn.
You mean Brian K. Vaughn?
Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, Matthew
Vaughn.
I'm
talking about the director of this film, directed Snatch, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. And
got it. Wait, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels wasn't him. That's the guy that married Madonna.
Directed by Guy Ritchie, but produced by Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, okay. So he's got some British chops. That's cool. I like that.
I think Guy Ritchie also did Snatch. So the two of them worked together on a few different things.
Right. There you go. All right. Well, I'm gonna finally watch them both. How about that?
That's what
I'm
gonna do. I can finish it. I was hoping it was streaming somewhere. So thank you for letting me know. It's on HBO.
Yes, it is streaming on HBO.
So which do you like? Do you like the sequel better? Is it more just hey, watch them both?
It's more of the same for me. Mm-hmm. I'd put them kind of right on the same level.
And it's just ridiculous. I mean, it totally is. Don't go into this movie thinking it's going to be like the serious spy film. It's just ridiculous and probably will offend a lot of people.
Right. And the fight scenes are so over the top, but they're so fantastically choreographed and they do stuff where it feels like it's a single shot camera, you know, or single shot fight scene where the camera is just kind of zipping around them. And it makes you think that the choreography is even better than it probably is. It's a very impressive pair of movies. I don't know how well this one did, if there's going to be a third, but I totally enjoy it.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
I like them too.
I'll watch them both.
I'm seeing if the first one, Secret Service, is streaming anywhere. It is streaming if you have FX Now.
Mm. Yeah, or I can just go buy it or rent it.
Or you can buy it for $2.99 on Amazon, whatever.
Yep. Yep. That's what I will do.
Worth it. Oh, and yeah, the first one's got Samuel Jackson in it, in fantastic Samuel L. Jackson role. So,
oh, good. Yes, that's true. That sounds all right. Yeah. And the King's Peach, he's in this, right? What's his name?
King's Peach is.
The King's Peach.
Michael Caine is in this one.
Oh, is he? Michael Caine's in this one? Weird.
In the first one.
Oh,
in the first one. Okay. Not in the second one.
Does he play Austin Powers' dad in the first one? No?
He does, yeah. Mark Hamill is in the first one.
Wait, you just said yes that he plays Austin Powers' dad.
He plays Alfie's dad, yes.
Yeah, okay, good. where was I? Oh, I don't have a clip today because I haven't watched jack shit all week. I haven't had time. But I did watch something with my wife that I 100% regret, and I want to 100% tell you about it.
So this is an unrecommendal.
It's an unrecommendal. This is for someone. It isn't for me. Someone in the chat's going to go, oh my gosh, I love that show. It's a guilty pleasure or whatever. I'm sure it is for a bunch of people. There's this British show that has been ported over to Netflix called 100% Hotter. And it's terrible.
Is it a makeover show?
Yes. It's where these, okay. So what happens is some British lady or dude will get up in front of these three experts, fashion expert people, and they'll dress up in the way that they think they look the best. So I don't buy it, by the way, because one lady showed up looking like a Raggedy Ann doll, like makeup and everything, and thought that was her hottest look, and I just don't buy it. Like, come on. And she's a totally normal, attractive-looking girl who comes dressed like a giant, over-made-up doll. I don't buy it. But anyway, then they follow them around in their normal life, what they do every day. She's perfectly adorable outside of the stupid doll getup. And then they spend an hour or half hour pretending like they're helping her find her true beauty. And then she comes out and they're like, oh, look at this. It sucks. It really sucks.
But you watched the whole thing, didn't you?
I watched one episode and then I said, I'm done.
They had a show like this. It was Extreme Makeover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they had a very similar show. And there was one episode in particular. I mean, they do plastic surgery and everything in this one.
Yeah, the one I'm telling you about, not even that. I think they film it in the back of a Hot Topic someplace, and everybody's just shitty, and I hate it. It's not good. This is the most anti-recommendal I've ever done on the show. My wife got hooked on it. My niece is way into it, which is how she found out about it. So it clearly is for somebody. This is not for me at all. But it's also the only time I had to watch anything this week outside of Westworld and stuff I've already recommended. So I'm a bad recommendal today. Do not
see. It's the big reveal. We, I think, as humans, like a big reveal.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, a house makeover or, you know, a human makeover.
I've got a big reveal for you. 100% Hotter sucks and Netflix should destroy it, burn all the copies. So, Nicole, I throw it directly to you. What do you have for us?
All right. Well, Scott, I'm going to give you my clip. Just play like the first, I don't know, 30 seconds of it. And it is a Netflix original show that I believe just came out.
Okay.
So, Brian, don't look.
Here goes.
I won't, but I have a guess already.
All right, here we go.
If you're a fan of weed and a fan of good food, then you've come to the right place. Two terrific chefs will go bud for bud in this cannabis cook-off using one secret ingredient. It's weed.
Okay, I saw this trailer. This trailer pops up all the time when I open Netflix.
I just watched the first episode and I was like, this is kind of cool.
How is it? Like, is it super like, hey, guess what? There's weed and everything, or do they really?
No. I mean, they have professional chefs. So like the first episode, two professional chefs, one in particular, she specializes in cooking with cannabis. And she doesn't have like her own like restaurant. She does in-home cooking for them. Mm. And they have like a theme. So like the first episode is Afternoon Delight, and they have a bud tender that comes in. I know I'm throwing all this. I think it's hilarious that I know this stuff now.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
I'm kidding. Bud tender? That's nuts.
And they specialize in knowing the different strains, and you have stevia and you have indica and the blends of that, and you can get different components from it. So they actually kind of teach you a little bit too. If you like cooking shows and you're curious about the benefits of cannabis and things like that, it's kind of a neat little show. And I thought it was kind of cool that it was on Netflix.
My next door neighbors love this show, but they've only seen the first episode, but they keep forgetting they've already watched it. So they keep watching the first episode over and over again.
Please tell me that's true. And it's not just a joke about pot.
It's not true, but it would be hilarious.
Damn it. That would be amazing because that's perfect for them. Oh, that's great.
And at the end of the episode, I laughed because there's a disclaimer at the end and it says all the cannabis cuisines featured in this program was intended for medical purposes only. Uh-huh. And it was prescribed and prepared and consumed in accordance with local laws. However, all the individuals who consumed the medicated cuisine suddenly got the urge to chill and watch TV.
So does every episode start with, and today you're tasked with a cake or whatever. Like, is it like that where they have to all make a thing?
Well, and they have different, like, I don't know any of these celebrities, but they have quote unquote celebrity judges that come in and evaluate. And then
if one of them isn't Snoop Dogg, then this show is already failing.
He's too busy doing that Joker's Wild show. He doesn't have time for this. Too busy doing that. Yeah. Oh, I love that, by the way. Have you seen the Joker's Wild with him?
I have. I do like that. It's really like great. It's better. Tongue-in-cheek. I don't know why they didn't call it the Toker's Wild. It seems like they missed one opportunity to like...
I completely agree. Maybe that was just like TBS or whoever just... They'd be like, all right, that's one step too far, Snoop.
We can't go that far.
Yeah, look, we know pot, so stop it.
How many of these chefs sneak Cheetos into their recipes? Like...
you know, like potheads do.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, like we're actually going to make these tortilla chips with Cheetos, man.
The first episode is called Afternoon Delight. So they made like sandwiches.
And then had
like
sex.
There's going to be one called baked potatoes. Mm-hmm. Another one's called Mexican canvas.
Oh, really? Going foodie, aren't they? Like mashed potatoes, a sandwich.
Bag of chips.
Oh, no, it was called Afternoon Delight. So, like, the guy made a really fancy grilled cheese with stuff, and another made like a crab cake kind of thing. And
I'd try it.
I mean, there's elements. There's a lot of food in it. And a lot of people want to know how to cook with cannabis, so Netflix said, "Hey, we'll make a cooking competition show about it."
Look, it's just an herb. It grew out of the ground. I put weird herbs on pizzas and stuff. I'd eat it. I'd do it. In fact, is there an episode where they do like some kind of pizza thing? Because that would be my jam.
There's going to be a pizza episode. Are you kidding me? There's going to be a burrito episode.
Oh, there's going to be
there's a
scrambled eggs episode.
There is. There's what it's called Wake and Bake.
Really? Wake and Bake.
This is my take on it. Croque Madame, but really it's just eggs with weed in them.
Yeah. Did they ever say I was making it and then I was just like, why don't I just smoke it instead?
But here's the thing that I think is interesting about this show. I mean, it's out there to kind of try to destigmatize, mm-hmm. It. And I mean, there's cooking with alcohol all the time, right? Mm-hmm, so. Sure.
No, I'm 100% for this.
We're joking a lot, but I mean, for the people that this.
I'm all for it, dude. I told you.
Sorry, I hit my nick.
Hit your nick.
We lost her.
Are you there still? You hit your neck?
Well, there we go. I think she's back.
Oh, you're back. Are you back?
Mixer.
Oh, you hit your mixer. Something went weird with your mixer. Hello? Are you there?
Wow.
I think she maybe got a short going now.
Who knew? Yes, there we go.
Yell Mark.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry.
Something got janked there. All right. Well, there it is. So, get your weed
I just
on.
Thought it would be kind of neat.
And what's it called again? Give me the title. What's the title of it?
Cooking on High.
Yeah, Cooking on High.
Okay.
It's only on Netflix. It's a Netflix show.
Cooking on High. Boy, they really are destigmatizing with all these puns they're sticking in there, aren't they?
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly.
We're in a really normalized pot, but let's make sure everything we say is a joke or a reference to pot. Great idea. Print it.
We're going to weed out the best cook among all of our competitors.
You know they're doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
I'll watch this and I'll watch it with Kim because maybe she'll get an idea. Actually, I would eat a brownie or I'd eat whatever. If my wife made something with cannabis and it was legal, I mean, legality matters to me. So if it was legal in my state, I'd eat it. I'd totally eat it. Let's do it.
We already know that you'll just chew whatever your wife brings home.
That's right.
Just be careful. I mean, like I said, I've yet to be high. I've never gotten, well, no, I didn't.
You're high right now.
I'm high right now. High on life. I mean, look, those were long. That was a long trip with the kids. We understand what you got to do.
Long, strange trip, man.
Yeah, man.
Let's watch some Cheech and Chong now.
That's a great idea. Dave's not here, man. Fantastic. It's Nicole Spag, by the way. If you follow her on Twitter, at Nicole Spag, she'll have links to the two things these guys recommended and not a link to 100% Hotter, which is garbage poo. So don't go near that thing. It's hot garbage, and I don't recommend it. We'll do this again next week, though, which will always be fun. Nicole Spag,
yay,
everybody.
Glad Bye.
You had a good trip. We'll see Bye-bye. You later. Bye now. Okay.
All right.
Well, you know what good time stuff. It is, don't you? It's time for a little bit of Tom Merritt.
It's Tom time,
and it sounds like this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt, whose camera's also not working, but I think there's just something up with Discord today.
What? No.
Well, on our end, I mean.
You see yourself. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was what I had, too.
It's
I
some Discord thing. I don't know what's going on. It's happening. So you're not the first. It's been happening. It happened to Brian, and it happened to Nicole, and now it's happening to you. It's okay, though. We'll hear your sexy voice. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to use that one, then.
Yeah, use your sexy one, if you could. That'd be great.
You just can't hold up any props today.
I have to admit, so Tom being here, we're going to talk about tech and all that, but I have to make it a quick admission here. I thought that because Tom and I, we're doing this thing on Current Geek where once a month we do one of the best movies of all time. We take this huge list compiled from various sources, and we go through them. And it's got big stuff on there, like Schindler's List and Citizen Kane and, you know, these kinds of things. We get to Singing in the Rain, and while I really enjoyed it, it was my first viewing, I thought we were going to get a bunch of flack on the fact that it's Singing in the Rain for some reason. I just thought people would say, oh, whatever, it's a musical, it's not even for me, but Current Geek, F you guys. But like, I really thought there'd be some backlash. And I was hoping that there wouldn't be, because I really liked it and I liked our conversation about it. It's been the opposite. It's like all these people writing in going, oh my gosh, I love that movie and I loved your take on it. I'm so glad you guys covered this one. This is now becoming my favorite thing you guys do. Blah, 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 blah. So thanks everybody who heard that yesterday and has said such nice things in 24 hours or less. It was really nice to see that because I was worried. I don't know why I was worried. I was just a little worried about it.
You know? I know what you mean. Worried may be too strong a word, but I think we were both like, nah, this may be one of our less popular episodes because it's a musical. And it just goes to show the stereotype does not always fit the reality.
Ah, see? Lesson learned, everybody. Put that in your pants and wear it. Okay, hey, it's Tom Merritt, everybody. He is of the Daily Tech News Show and brings gifts bearing technology. Or no, technology gifts. Something like that. He covers
GIFs?
No. GIFs. GIFs. Bringing plenty of GIFs. Under the tree.
I want to talk about a movie first before we get into a little bit of tech.
All right.
I got to see Ant-Man and the Wasp
yesterday. Okay,
the embargo lifted 20 minutes ago, the embargo for Skyscraper, which I saw 2 weeks ago and still can't talk about. Ant-Man and the Wasp was great.
Great, you'd
it's
say.
It's really fun.
Okay. Wait, can you remind folks your scale real quick? What's your scale again?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Top of my scale is mind-blowing, then amazing, then great, then good. And then below average is fine, bad, awful, and walked out.
Got it. So if you say great, that's good news for me. I'm
high praise. Yeah.
I tend to agree. Yeah,
it was. The story is predictable. The story is not the star of this. It succeeds despite its story. Its story is pretty average. I wouldn't say it's bad, but it's like, story isn't what carries this. Mm-hmm. The plot is pretty much what you would expect from, like, oh, there's a bad guy who wants the tech and a good guy who wants the tech, and they're both trying to stop our heroes from implementing the tech to save Michelle Pfeiffer. Mm. That's pretty much your story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it goes where you would think it would go. But it's done so fun. Cool. That sort of quirky part of Guardians of the Galaxy that makes you love it. That sort of fun humor of Thor Ragnarok that makes you love it is done in a different way. It's not like, oh, they're trying to be like Guardians or Thor. They have their own sense of humor that plays right into Paul Rudd. It plays right into Michael Pena. And it's great. And it only lagged for me in one little bit towards the end when they really focused on the action and stopped having fun. And I'm like, okay, this isn't as great. But they brought it back. They brought it back at the end. And it was really enjoyable.
I hear really good things about innovative uses of shrinking and enlarging, like just really fun, crazy action sequences that take big advantage of the fact that he can be real small or real big. And
I mean, you see that, you see some of that even in the previews, you know, like
the trailer,
the things that they enlarge, a giant Pez, for example. We've all seen that, no spoiler there, but that's cool. I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad it went well, and I'm glad they lifted the embargo. Also, I'm looking at they don't have a cumulative score yet on Rotten Tomatoes, but very positive stuff from a bunch of people.
Also, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, I think I said was good when I first came out of the theater.
Yeah.
It fell to fine.
Reduced.
Yeah. It made a fair amount of money.
No, if you like dinos, doesn't matter. You go see it.
You're in.
The dinos are great. That's really all you need.
Incredibles 2, doing okay at second place, but not the kind of money Jurassic Park's bringing in. Well, all right then. That's fantastic. Thank you for that. I am very excited about this movie, so we'll get on that. Oh, I see in this picture, Ant-Man has to fly on a wasp, and then the wasp can flying ant, and the wasp.
That's what he does in the first one too.
That's true, but she gets her own flying business, which they talked about in the trailer.
She's the wasp.
Yeah, freaking, that sucks for him. I feel bad.
Well,
for
also,
Paul
there's Rudd. They acknowledge that in the trailer where he turns to Michael Douglas and says like, oh, I guess you didn't have the wings when you gave me my suit. And Michael Douglas says, no, I did.
Yeah. Is there a scene ever where Evangeline Lilly turns to Paul Rudd and says, season 3 and 4 of Lost was bad? Does she ever do that?
We have to go back to the island.
Does she ever say we have to go back to the island? No.
Darn it.
I don't think she ever says either of those things.
Missed opportunity. All right.
Although I realized this is a callback to the current Geek Singing in the Rain episode. When I said Sid Charisse looked modern to me, the hairstyle Evangeline Lilly has in the first Ant-Man, which they do a couple flashbacks in Ant-Man and the Wasp 2, is the Sid Charisse hairstyle.
Oh.
That must have been what was in my head.
Well, that's crazy.
Oh, that's cool.
Because you saw this when? When did you see this Ant-Man deal?
I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp last night, but I had seen Ant-Man, the original, when it came out.
So. Right. Well, all right, there you go, everybody. Early review. Tom says great. That's a high number for
him.
It's
fun. It's great fun.
I like that. And I hear Pena kind of steals the show, which I like him a lot.
He's amazing.
Fantastic. Well, what is going on in the world of tech today? I've got to be on Daily Tech News show today later, so I'm very excited about what I have to learn about before then.
Well, there are a few things going on, one of which I actually want to take the moment to explain why we probably won't cover the fact that Slack has an outage, Google Home has an outage, and Chromecast has an outage, unless there turns out to be some bigger reason for it. We generally don't cover outages on Daily Tech News Show because, generally speaking, by the time we cover them and you get the episode and listen to it, the outage is over.
Right.
And it's only a big deal for the people using that product during the outage. Then it goes away and everybody forgets about it. So it's the definition of something that really isn't news. Unless, for instance, like the PlayStation Network outage. I didn't cover that the first day it happened, but when it dragged on and it turned out, oh, wait a minute, there's something else behind this, then it becomes news. So it is interesting that Slack Google Home and Chromecast all having outages at the same time, it makes me pay more attention. Like, well, let's find out if that's just a coincidence, but it might just be a coincidence. So if you're dealing with that right now and you don't hear us talk about it on DTNS, that's
fine. Yeah. If you guys are wondering about the PlayStation outage he's referring to, it was 2011 and it was bad. It took
Is it that long ago? Yeah. Holy cow. I remember. Yeah. I remember that like it was yesterday.
I'm old enough to remember. Yeah. It was a long time ago, but it was bad, and there was, 77 million accounts had been exposed. The outage lasted 23 days. Wow. That is unheard of. If you did that today, you're done with your service, especially now that it's a paid service. You'd be done. You'd be out.
People would be buying Xbox Ones, like, after 5 days and saying, that's it. I need a connected video game experience.
Yeah, it was real bad, I remember, at the time. But also, they made a pretty good argument for why they were taking their time, but it also made me think that stuff had been broken for a while and this was them trying to rush a fix and I don't know, whatever. But that...
That at the time, I don't regret the decision. I dismissed it the first day because I'm like, meh, outages happen. And when it dragged into the second day, it became, okay, something serious is going on here.
And we don't have there's no indication yet why this, like I'm looking at Slack right now and it's completely out. And there's nobody's saying... there's a breach or any of that.
And Slack's gone down like this before. In fact, the characterization is pretty much the same. In the past, when Slack has gone down, it goes down for some people, not all people. Mm. And some people who are logged in stay logged in, even though everyone else in their region is out. So this looks like that. It's just one of those weird server things. Cloud services go out sometimes.
Also,
a Google spokesperson did confirm to TechCrunch that there is an issue affecting some of its customers on these platforms. Which makes me think there's probably just something going on with a firmware update or something like that.
Yeah, it seems like there's often, sometimes these are all tied to a larger AWS or otherwise cloud service, Azure servers or something that everybody shares or uses. And in this case, Google's got their own stuff, so that's probably not it, but it's very, very curious. I noticed just now, this is just a quick note, Slack is working for the Frog Pants, or the TMS Slack group, which patrons use. That's all good. DTNS.
For you.
Yeah, DTNS. Yeah, for me. this is all, but it's all,
I mean, this is the problem. Like, everybody's like, well, it's working for me. It's like, okay.
Great.
You know, I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm saying, like, people sometimes get combative on Twitter. Like you're wrong. It's like, well, it's out for some people. It's not, it's not out for others because there's not just one server in a closet somewhere. It's distributed.
No.
So,
and who knows what's, that's just the way it happens. Some of this may be cached.
Slack is actually working on mobile for me and not on my desktop. So
weird. That's weird. Yeah. Yeah, I've got no DTNS, no Frog Pants, so the two that I care about. Not that I don't care about you TMS people. I'm glad that it's working for some of you. And maybe some of you are seeing the others. I don't know. But hey, I guess what? It'll probably be fixed by the end of lunch today, is my thinking.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm going to guess that's probably true. Although there's one guy, he always changes his name on Twitter.
Lawrence P.
I'm going to try to credit you once I find out what your name is now. But he was saying he's in Canada. He can get google.ca, but not google.com to show up in Firefox. There's some certificate weirdness. So I don't know. There might be something wider going on, or that might just be him.
Could be end times.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes things don't happen on your own computer that they're like, why isn't this working? And it turns out you had a corrupted file or whatever.
Video not working on Discord? I smell a conspiracy.
It's all connected.
It is. It's the world domination deep space. Deep state with the end times. It's end times, Tom. It's end times. Well, outside of outages, what else is happening? Anything good?
Sony says they're really working hard on cross-platform play for Fortnite, but it's hard because business.
Yeah, sure, whatever. That whole thing is a mess. Also, it's proceeding.
Sean Layton is the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment America, told Eurogamer, I'm confident we'll get a solution which will be understood and accepted. And everybody knows it's not a technical issue. You can do it today.
Yep.
So there's speculation that it has to do with in-game purchases, maybe, and the fact that, if you buy it on Nintendo, Sony doesn't get any of that money, and neither do its partners, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, which is obnoxious because, oh my gosh, if you don't know what's going on, listeners, if you don't know what's really happening with this thing with Fortnite, it is really putting to the forefront the idea of cross-platform compatibility, in that that game is kind of everywhere and all places at once, and your account is sort of works through everything, so it doesn't matter what your preferred platform is. And Sony has made it impossible, if you've played it on the PlayStation and tied your PSN account to your Fortnite account on Epic's site, then when you go to download it on the Switch and play it, it says, sorry, you can't play this here because you played it on Sony once, and it's stupid and dumb and lame. And it's just such, like, console leader mentality for them to play the business the way they're playing it right now. It's super annoying to me. And this happens every time. Microsoft's been guilty of it in the past when they were kind of ahead of things. Sony's definitely done this in the past when they were ahead of things before. They forget. They get humble for a while. They work hard. They earn your trust. And then they do weird stuff like this again. So I actually think this will be an interesting little tipping point for this sort of stuff. Because we are moving into an era, I believe, where platform means less and your account means more. If that makes sense. And it's funny. Part of this is like, well, you know, if somebody's playing it on both PlayStation and Xbox or and, you know, any other device, if they buy this stuff, the in-game content there, and then they go back to play it on Sony, well, Sony saw none of that transaction. Apple has a little bit of this problem as well, so that's why you kind of have to go off-site to get something on Amazon, and then you can read it on your Kindle on the iPad or whatever.
Right.
But at least they're doing that. In this case, this is Sony not even doing that. This is them just locking it out and saying, nope, it's our way or the highway, and I think that sucks.
Am I wrong, though? You can cross-play with PC, right?
Yes, PS4? Yes, they've allowed that, yes. And it's weird how why they've done that. Right. I don't get it, but yes, they have done that. Because it's the same issue at play, right?
That makes it even weirder. Like, oh, I guess you just didn't think there were going to be that many PC players that would likely buy a PS4.
Right.
Whereas once it's on consoles, you're like, ooh, direct competitor. Yeah. We need to figure something out there.
You're right. It's business.
It sounds like they're feeling the heat, though, and not just wanting to be stubborn about it. They're trying to figure out how to keep their money, how to have their cake still sitting on the table, but also having eaten it at the same time.
There you go.
That's a cake in superposition. You can't do that.
I agree. If they, you know, their posturing in 2013 is what made it possible for the PS4 to be a big success, because they took the road opposite of what Microsoft was, which at the time, Microsoft took a very cocky approach with the Xbox One launch, and Sony said, no, we're about the games, we're about the gamers, and they went that way. Now it's just flipped again, and I hate this.
That's what you do when you're number two. When you're number one, you protect your business position. When you're number two, you like T-Mobile or whatever, you take all of those complaints that protect the leader's business position and you capitalize on them. That's competition in play.
It is, but what if...
It's annoying.
I've seen enough of these. I have been around long enough to see enough of these console cycles from all the way back in the day till now. It happens every time. It's the most predictable thing I've ever seen. And it drives me crazy because I actually think this is... when you become not a leader and then you're forced to do the second place stuff again. Like, it's just dumb. Sony should get out ahead of this, do the noble thing, say, yeah, that was wrong. We shouldn't have done that. We're going to do this instead now. And there you go. Everybody plays together. We're all good.
And they don't make up as much money and their shareholders get mad. And there you go.
I guess. I don't know, man. It's dumb. It's lame. Bring back the Walkman. That's what I'm asking for. Well, all right. All this will be good stuff today. I'm very much looking forward to it, as always.
We'll also probably talk about Google's Duplex system being finally rolled out to some testers. That's the one that has natural language that can call a restaurant and make a reservation for you. So got some more information on that coming as well.
Not entirely free of controversy, that little piece of tech. All right, well, we'll do all that and more later. 2:30 Mountain Time's when you want to catch it. I'll be on. Can't wait. Sarah Lane, you, Roger. Good times. Tom, anything else you want to mention before we go?
Yes, Gallium is out. This is a novel that I wrote about a woman in the Lot Beta universe. She's in a different solar system than the one in Lot Beta, but she's a salvager, and she discovers something that catches the eye of the Gallium Corporation, and they don't really want it to be revealed. And so they go after her, they get her fired from her job, but she perseveres against them. So if it sounds like an interesting story to you, you can check it out, tommerrittbooks.com.
Yes, always a good place to bookmark and visit.
Tom, and you held up a prop, but I can see you now.
Oh, can you see him?
Oh, you know what? I was doing that out of habit, forgetting that video wasn't supposed to be working, but you saw that. That's amazing.
Oh, that's great. Yes. I see nothing. I see a spinning thing still.
Try this. Go to like a go to like a different Discord and come back and see if that fixes it.
All right, coming back. Oh, it did. What wow. the heck? All right, must be something with Discord being a farty fart. That's really odd. Well, Tom, it's good to see your face now. There's his book, everybody.
Anyway, now that you can see it, great cover by Joel Duggan. Big thanks for him doing that as well.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, we will catch you a little bit later, sir, and we'll talk to you soon. Ace Detect on Twitter, everybody. Okay, well, that's weird.
It is really weird.
At least we know that now. We can swap around.
Yeah, we can just flip back. I got an instant message from somebody. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, then it came back. And it's like, oh, I can see Tom now.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's a little bit more Discord activity today. Given the outage on Slack, maybe that's why they're having issues. Who knows?
Maybe.
All right. That's it for that. What else? So, hey, Brian, Coverville today. We shouldn't forget about talking about that.
There will be a Coverville today. Yes. So, three birthdays I'm celebrating. Two of those people are actually still alive. The third one, sadly, left us in 2016. I mentioned him earlier. Celebrating the birthdays today of Cyndi Lauper, Colin Hay of Men at Work, and George Michael of George Michael and Wham fame. So it is going to be 80s all up in this biatch with covers of stuff like Down Under, Who Can It Be Now, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and Wake Me Up Before You Go. Go. All that stuff today. 1 p.m. Mountain Time, coverville.com/live.
Wake me up before you Pokemon go.
There you go.
Hey, I hear there's a... how come I'm seeing everybody sharing player codes on that thing? What's the deal?
Yeah, it's they've got the new friend feature, so you can send gifts to each other now, and you can trade Pokemon. So if you've been hankering for a Mewtwo, Scott, I could trade with you if we were in the same place at the same time.
That's how it works. You got to be in proximity. Remotely. Yeah.
Yep, you got to be close to somebody to trade with them.
All right, I'm going to have to... maybe I reinstall this thing and see what's up.
It's fun. They've got the highest player base now than they have since 2016 when attention started waning. So, like, they've come back up to not their highest point, but their second highest point.
Oh, well, there you go then. Well done, guys. You've done it.
You figured out how to bring them back.
You've done it. Don't forget to do this. Go to frogpants.showbot.tv. Vote for today's title. Everybody who's here live, if you have not yet done, consider going to our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. It is the fuel in our tank, and we really appreciate it. Big thanks to all of you for being here live. We always like seeing you guys. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You'll find all our contact stuff and everything there. So go check it out. All right, let's leave with another selection from your vast array of musical choices. What do you have today?
Yes. How about this one going out to Sean, who goes by the name 8-Bit Adventures when he's in chat. Hey, Scott and Brian, the 26th yesterday was actually my birthday, and I was wondering if you guys could play Pentatonix's Daft Punk medley. Shout out to the East Provo Interpretive Dance Company. Signed, Sean. Do you remember the East Provo Interpretive Dance Company?
How could I forget? That was fantastic.
Spectacular? Yep. Absolutely. Thank you, Sean. Great suggestion. Happy birthday. Hope you had a great birthday. And as you requested from the PTX Volume 2 album, which came out in 2014, probably my favorite Pentatonix track, because these guys, number one, are amazing. And I don't know how deep voice guy gets his voice so damn deep that it rattles the walls in my house.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But here's Pentatonix with their tribute, multiple covers of Daft Punk.
They're the best. When it comes, they're of all the like acapella things, bands, yeah. They're just like the leaders in the
they
field.
Really are. They're like the echelon, the upper echelon of acapella.
Yeah, they're like I can't think of a good thing, so I'm just gonna play their music. This is really good. I've heard this before. By the way, check the video out for this. It's super rad as well.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's really cool. Lots of weird eyes and stuff.
Lots of black light. Yeah.
Yeah, worth checking out. Anyway, here it is, Daft Punk. We'll see you later. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, call it, jam it, lock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch it, fade it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, touch, rename it, touch it, bring it, play it, watch it, technologic. One more time. One more time. Like the legend of the Phoenix, yeah. All ends with beginnings. Oh, it keeps the planets
Part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Can you smell it?
I did that yesterday. Oops.